Today our scripture is from John's Gospel, and chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. I want to just give you an advance warning that for someone this morning who really loves the Lord but has maybe struggled some with how to exercise spiritual disciplines and maybe even have a so-called quiet time, I'm going to give you an opportunity. We're going to do a little lab a little bit later with an opportunity for a volunteer. So just keep that in mind. But as we dive into this particular scripture passage, we come to a familiar Jesus used lots of parables, figures of speech. That's what I'm looking for. With a vine, Jesus a vine, we're the branches. And there have been articles, even books that have been written about these verses. And it's not my intention to try to draw every possible nuance out of these verses, or we'd be here well into the week. Instead, I want us to look at the basic thrust of this passage and ask ourselves this question. What is our primary goal in life? What is our primary goal? I mean, is it to get a better job or to make more money or to have better relationships or to root for the Seahawks, and, you know, that type of thing? Now, all of these may have their place in the right attitude. But Jesus is speaking to us here through his word about what he considers of paramount importance for us. And may we not miss it if we count ourselves as his followers. So let's hear God's word. I'll read it beginning in verse 1 of John chapter 15. These are the words of Jesus. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. I want to show you a picture I took of a tree down here by the Duwamish River. I took this picture about 3 weeks ago. Now, I've heard, you know, sometimes we see people with two-tone hair coloring, you know, and we understand that. But trees with a two-tone, green and a brown, why do you think this tree has dyed its hair? Or why is it two-tone like this? Branch broken off. See, we're pretty smart here. That is exactly it. Now, let me show you a close-up of this. And you will see, in fact, though, I didn't bring it up here with, or I do have it with me. I want to point out, ta-da! Yeah, right here, right there, there's the broken branch. Now, here's the interesting thing. I first noticed this about 3 months ago. It was in June, after a windstorm, and you know, down there a lot on the trail, and I noticed this because not by the color. Everything was green then. But that branch had broken, and therefore the bottom part was scraping along by the edge of the trail there. And I looked up and I realized it was broken. A couple months later, the color had changed. And we don't have to be scientists to figure out why. You know, being separated from the trunk and the main part of the branch, it lost its source of nutrients, and so everything dried up. I kind of keep that in mind here as we come to this similar picture that Jesus is saying about remain in him. It's important to remember the context here. That Jesus is, John 14 through 16 is Jesus' final address before his crucifixion to his followers. Judas has left already in an act of sinful betrayal. Jesus is about to leave in an act of sacrificial love, dying for our sins. So in this final message, what he says is very important. And a key thrust in these chapters is that after his crucifixion and resurrection, he's saying, don't worry, because the Father will send the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit within you is going to make the Father and Son real within you. I will be dwelling within you by the Spirit of God. And it's the Holy Spirit who's going to give guidance and direction and help us to live faithfully for Christ in a world opposed to the gospel. And it's in this context that Jesus talks about him being the vine, the source of life, and we being his branches. And he says, the basic thrust here, remain in me, and you will bear fruit which brings glory to the Father. Now that is a primary goal of our lives. Whatever other goals we may have, if we are a follower of Christ, everything should come under that umbrella that we remain in Jesus Christ and be fruit bearers. But it does beg two questions, and these are the questions I want us to address this morning. What does it mean to remain in Jesus? How do we remain in him? And then, of course, what is the fruit in our lives that brings glory to the Father? Well, let's answer these questions by taking a look at these verses. Jesus says, I am the true vine. In other words, if we want to attach our lives somewhere, here is the truth. It's Jesus. You know, he is the one we are to seek, to love, to follow, and serve. But when Jesus said this in this original context, it was probably an eye-popper for the disciples, because they were all students of their Bible, which was our Old Testament. And in the Bible, the Old Testament, the vine of God was the nation of Israel. But Israel turned out to be unfaithful and unfruitful. So what Jesus is saying is, I am the Father's true vine. And it's a reminder to us that even today, like we saw last week when we talked about Jesus being the narrow gate for the narrow road, that there is a wide gate and a broad road, that there are false vines. There are spiritual ways that are not the truth, that in the end are destructive, dry up. But Jesus says, I'm the true vine, and you're my branches. And the Father is the gardener. He is watching over the Son and his branches. In verses 2 through 6, or not 2, verses 2 and 6, there's a little bit of perplexing here, because in both these verses it talks about how the Father cuts off the unfruitful branches. And so the question is, are these unfruitful branches, are they those who were really, truly Christians, committed to Christ, and then later rejected him and became unfruitful, and so the Father cut them off, they lost their salvation? Or are those unfruitful branches those like Judas, who was with the disciples, who looked like he was a part of the vine, but in his heart he had never surrendered to Christ, never really given his life to him, and he's been cut off? Well, for the record, I lean towards the latter. That these unfruitful branches are those that never initially made that commitment. But, again, that is not the focus here. The focus that Jesus is wanting to draw his followers to is remain in me. And that brings us to verses 4 and 5, which is really the heart of the passage. Jesus is saying, listen, remain in me, because apart from me, you can't bear any fruit. In fact, he even says you can't do anything. Remain in me. And that brings us back to our question. What does that mean? How do we remain in Jesus? Verse 7 is where we really get the open door that begins to show what Jesus is talking about. In verse 7, he says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. Now, that's an incredible promise. Ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. But notice what it's based on. Remain in me and my words remain in you. You see, it's when we know the Word of God And let those words be the guideline for our prayer. In other words, God's character, His ways, His purposes. Then there's going to be answers to our prayer because we are praying that which is in the Father's heart. Now here's where we see that to remain in Jesus involves a couple of very critical things that we hear a lot about Christian living. Prayer and knowing the Word of God. Bible reading, Bible study, and obedience to that. Prayer and Bible study. And those are two key components of this term I was referring about. Spiritual disciplines. Spiritual disciplines include, of course, prayer and Bible study, but also involve worship. Corporate worship like this, individual worship, service, fellowship. We can go on and on. These are spiritual disciplines. But here's what we have to be aware of. Spiritual disciplines are not to be seen in a legalistic way. In other words, not to be seen as the tools that earn us favor with God. Well, if I just pray more, if I just study the Bible, then maybe God will accept me and I'll be okay. That is a defeatist attitude. Many Christians have been defeated by that. And they said, you know, I try to have a quiet time, but, you know, it's just life is so busy, I don't have time to pray, and I try to pray, and I try to read the Scripture, and I don't understand it, and I'm just not a good Christian. And it's kind of a self-defeating point approach, and it misses the point Jesus is saying here. Notice what he said. Remain in me, and my words remain in you. It's all about relationship with him. Relationship. It's by grace that we come into faith in Jesus Christ. God takes the initiative. It's His grace. We cannot earn His favor, but we can receive His grace, His favor, by faith. And therefore, we are to see spiritual disciplines not in a legalistic, oh, I've got to do it to get God's graces, but rather as a means of God's grace to cultivate the relationship we have had in Christ. I want to read to you an interesting quote I came across in an article in India Gospel Outreach. When he was 17 years old, there was this very perceptive German youth who wrote this: "Our heart, reason, history, and the work of Christ convince us that without Him, we cannot achieve our goal, that without Him, we are doomed by God, and only Christ can save us." Now, for the most part, I think this is a relatively good statement. 9 years later, this very same German man not only totally rejected Jesus Christ, but also rejected anything spiritual, saying religion is the opiate of the masses. But that man was Karl Marx. And his fruit was communism, which has brought untold millions into misery. So at some point, Karl Marx knew about the gospel. But I would say that it's very likely he was like a Judas. He had hung around, he knew about it, he heard about the gospel, there was some attraction, but he had never come to that surrender in his life saying, I'm on board with you, Christ. I'm connecting with you. You see, at some point, there needs to be in every person who's actually a branch in the connected to the vine of Christ, there needs to be a conscious, voluntary commitment to follow Him. At some point where there's a sense of saying, Jesus, I am aware that I am a sinner and only You, by Your blood, forgive me of my sins. And only by You am I restored to the Father's love. Only in You is salvation. I give my life to You. However it's worded, that heart response is there. We become, it's a mystical, spiritual, what Jesus says in John 3, it's a born-again experience by the Holy Spirit to bring Christ into our life. That's how we attach to the vine. I use an analogy. Last week I gave a little example about when Jeanette and I were dating. And just to carry that analogy a step further, there is a point where we needed to make a commitment to each other if we were going to get married. There is at some point, we stopped having to be fans, like I said last week, and become a follower. where we said, you know, we're going to commit our lives to each other. And there was that point where we stood before a pastor and we exchanged our vows saying, we're going to be committed to one another. Now, having done that, then we want, by God's grace, to continue to nurture that relationship. And the, quote, spiritual disciplines, or the disciplines of our relationship, are those ways that we continue to show each other love and care and walk through those difficult, challenging times to remain in that relationship. How much truer is this with Christ? There's a point at which we sign the dotted line and say, I am committed to you, Jesus, my life. But then we want to cultivate that relationship because he is going to do his part on his, you know, through the Holy Spirit, but we respond, and that's where the spiritual disciplines come in, because they are means of grace to help us cultivate our relationship with Jesus Christ. They are so important, and yet they can be very challenging. Congratulations, you're here this morning because you are exercising a spiritual discipline of coming to corporate worship. That's one of the ways God speaks into our life and affirms that we're part of something bigger than ourselves, part of God and a part of the body of Christ. It equips us. But it's still so important on a daily walk as we go through every day to be able to cultivate our relationship with Jesus, because the greatest goal is to remain in him. Which then I want to briefly address that other question. What is the fruit we are to bring forth that brings glory to the Father? Well, verse 8 makes it clear that we bring forth fruit to the Father and so show that we are his disciples. Fruit is simply the outward manifestation in our lives that shows what vine we're attached to. If you see a cherry, you figure it's a cherry tree. If you see an apple, it's an apple tree. When you see the fruit of the Spirit, when you see love, joy, peace, those characteristics being nurtured in our life, and we're giving credit to Christ as our Lord, or when we bear witness to him, when we share with others about Jesus Christ, that is fruit. It's showing who's in our heart, Jesus Christ. Now, here's what I want us to see, though. Fruit brings glory to our Father in heaven, but notice, Jesus does not command us to be fruit bearers. He doesn't say, go out and bear fruit, because then it would be up to us, and I don't think we'd do a very good job of it. What he says is, remain in me. Cultivate your relationship with me. And what happens? The fruit follows. You know, if that cottonwood branch had remained on the cottonwood, it would still be doing all the things we don't like cottonwoods to do. But you get the point, all right? But we do positive things, you know, when we remain in Christ. So the issue, our main goal isn't to be fruit bearer. Our main goal is to remain in Christ. And then as we do that, we bear fruit for the Father's glory. So what's our take home? Here's where I will be looking for a volunteer in a moment. Because I know it is a struggle for some people. They really love the Lord. They want to cultivate that relationship, but they kind of struggle with a, quote, daily quiet time or something to that nature, that, you know, busyness and how do I read the Bible, that type of thing. So what I want to do is just take a couple of minutes and work with someone. It's kind of a lab before us. Remember last week, this is a safe place. Someone who's willing to be transparent and to work with me for a few minutes just to kind of help sharpen, crystallize, what does it mean to have some prayer and to read the Word of God with some understanding. So if you're committed to Christ, you know you're a branch, part of the vine, but maybe would like a little help, I'm looking for a volunteer to be willing to come up here right now and be transparent. Is there someone? Jesse? Okay, come on up. Mr. Jesse, yes. Okay, Jesse, why don't you grab that mic there and bring this up here. And I, just as a preface here, that, you know, if you haven't been able on a regular, you know, daily basis somehow just connect with Christ, you know, don't try to go out and do an hour a day, or you're going to just say, oh, I failed. You know, when I first started jogging, I regularly do about 30 minutes three times a week. But when I first started, I did 10 minutes and thought, okay, that's enough for now. You know, work your way into it. Okay, so Jesse, right now, do you have a particular regular devotional pattern?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you use a particular pattern of reading through the scripture?
No.
Okay, so do you just kind of randomly pick a scripture?
Not randomly. I'll pick a section. I'll just start until I get to the end of a book, and then, well, I guess I do.
Okay. Just for the sake of kind of demonstrating here, we do, most weeks we have reflections in here, which is a series. Each day there will be a scripture reading, Monday through Saturday, that's connected with whatever theme we've done. Tomorrow's theme, let's just take that for an example. And what's the scripture for tomorrow?
So for Monday, September 15th, it's Philippians 1, 3 through 11.
Okay, what I want you to do now is we're going to just pretend this is maybe tomorrow. And one of the first things I like to tell people, and you've heard me say this before, I think it's good even before we get out of bed, when we first wake up, have our first words and thoughts, just thank you, Lord, for a new day. I just give myself to you. I thank you for your love and that I'm a part of you. Guide and direct me today before I even get out of bed. That's just a great start. Okay, now, what I'd like you to do, Jesse, is read verses 3 through 11 there. Oh, yeah, out loud. Yeah, read it so we can hear.
Well, that makes it kind of nice. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for you, for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. Whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify.
Okay, and then 9 through 11?
How I have longed for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God.
Now, Jesse, take a look at those verses, and is there any place where something kind of stood out as you read it or as you look at it that says, wow, I just want to grab a hold of that thought. This tells me something about my relationship with God or how he wants me to live. Is there something that just grabs you for the moment?
I'd say like there's just an overwhelming sense of just thankfulness and gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
That we would continue to grow. There's a sense of not just thankfulness and gratitude, but for God, but for the brothers and sisters that I have in Christ who are also continuing to grow. And just a gratitude to God and to them that God is working through them as they, in their discipline, continue to grow and grow closer to God.
Okay. For example, like in verse 9, where it says, I pray that your love may abound more and more. So it's one thing that be here, but to continue to grow. So how might you turn that into a prayer of both thanksgiving, but also intercession?
I think that's pretty straightforward right there. I mean, yeah. You're praying, you're giving thanks to God for the growth in that group, in the fellow Christians that are around you, and that God would continue to give them knowledge and insight and depth, mm-hmm. that they would know how to discern what is pure and best and maybe blameless until the day of Christ. Right. I think you could just pray right in through that.
Exactly.
I mean, that really is.
Now, if it's okay, what I'd like to do is just based on what you shared, kind of offer a sample prayer that you might pray as a result of that. And all of this, as you can see, it's just taking a couple minutes. You read some scripture, let the Spirit of God speak truth to you, and then you pray back God's will, which is His Word. So let's just do that, okay?
Sure.
And I'll kind of pray as though I'm Mr. Jesse, okay? Lord, I thank You so much for Your love, and I thank You that You are at work in me and my brothers and sisters in Christ to continue to bring us to completion. And I pray that Your love may abound more and more in my life as I go to work today for those around, that they may see Christ in me. And I pray for Jesse, and I pray for Lily today, that Your love may abound more and more in them as well. And we pray for our family and our church family, that Your love may abound more and more in them as well. Lord, thank You. There is a lot of joy in these verses, and thank You for the joy that Your Spirit puts in our heart. May that joy be reflected in my life today. I surrender to You in Jesus' name. Amen. So this is just kind of a nugget, but you've read some scripture, seen some truth of God's Word there, then you pray that back into your heart, but also in intercession into others' lives that God has given you, your family and the people you work with. Now, what that is doing is it's remaining in Christ. You've just given your day to Him. You've just submitted to Him and asked Him to guide you and to work more of His Spirit and grace into our lives. And then as you go through the day, the Spirit may prompt you at a particular time as you're interacting with someone. You just say, oh, Lord, this is a difficult situation. Again, I pray for that love. And then you kind of just walk with Jesus through the day. Now, I'm making it sound easy, and it's not always easy, but that is how we start. That's how we cultivate our walk with the Lord. So thank you, Jesse, for being willing to come up and volunteering. And my encouragement to all of us as a take-home is that to cultivate our walk with Jesus, let's start wherever we are. Now, maybe you already are doing quiet times. Great. Persevere in that. But are there other spiritual disciplines you can also be growing in to just be stronger and stronger and with the result of fruit? Now, one other thing here. It could be that this morning there might be some here that are like a Judas. Now, don't get me wrong. Don't get ahead of me here. You're not betraying Jesus, but you've been kind of lingering around with Jesus' people but never surrendered. Never said, okay, now I see, Jesus, I get it. I need You. I need You in my life. I need You to take over. I want to be a branch. I want to be connected with You. I've been connected to the world. I've been connected to me. Now I want to be connected to You. And this can be your day for that. And so what I'd like to do is just invite us all to bow in prayer. And if any of you, and I should say this ahead of time. If this is going to be a decision you make to say, I want to attach to the vine, the true vine of Jesus Christ, I'm going to ask you to, in a moment, reveal that. Because, you know, we are not, this is not a secret. We're part of the body of Christ. But for right now, it's a moment just between you and the Lord. So I ask you, if this is your desire to become part of the vine, that in the quietness of your heart, you just pray these words after me. Lord Jesus, I recognize now that You are the true vine. I confess before You that I've been the Lord of my own life. And I confess now that I need You to be my Lord. And Jesus, I ask You, since You shed Your blood for my sins, I ask You to forgive my sins and my sinful heart. I pray that your Holy Spirit may fill my life with your presence. I pray that your Holy Spirit may make me aware of the Father's love for me through his Son, Jesus. And then I pray, Lord Jesus, I may remain in you and bear fruit to the Father's glory. I thank you, Jesus, that the work you have begun in me, you will, by your power, bring to completion. I pray this in your name. Amen. If you have prayed this prayer, I'm going to ask you to, at the end of our service, to come up to one of our prayer team members. It'll be up here, and share with them and said, you know, I prayed to become part of the vine. I prayed to become part of Jesus. And I want you to pray with me now for strength to walk out this faith commitment I am making. And then I'd ask you to let me know, because I have something I want to give you. Many of us have made this commitment at one point. It may have been in the quietness of our own room at home. It may have been in a public assembly. But like I said earlier, there's a point where we say yes to Jesus. We connect with the vine, and then we grow in him and bear fruit to the Father's glory. And let me tell you, there is no greater place to be than to be in the kingdom of God following Jesus. No greater place.